Good to see all of you here this morning, and I want to ask you to take God's word this morning. We're going to look at Psalm 37, verse 23. I want to read from the New Living Translation, just because I like that and the way that it just says it. And as you're turning there, let me remind you that, of course, this is the end of the year. We're looking at this next week, or this week is our last week of the 2015. One of our traditions that we have here is that we observe the Lord's Supper on Christmas, on New Year's Eve. And so if you would like to be a part of that, and I encourage you to do that, that you be here at 6 o'clock this coming Thursday here in the worship center, and we will observe that. That's all that we'll be doing. There won't be a message. There'll just be us coming together to remember the Lord as we start the new year, because we certainly want him leading and guiding and directing us. And Jesus said, as often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. So if we want to remember him, the Lord's already told us how to do that very well, and that's in the Lord's Supper. I encourage you to make plans for that this Thursday, 6 o'clock here in the worship center. This is the last message in the series of Simply Christmas. And I wanted to share with you something that God has just been working in me a long time in ministry. I didn't know he was working in me. I didn't recognize what he was working in me. As the Lord has been just growing me and revealing the word and, of course, studying the word. But I want to talk to you this morning from the word. I want us to look at scripture about when heaven changes your plans, when they just get changed. Psalm 37, 23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. I think every one of us have had those days. I know that I certainly have, when you know, I don't know, maybe it doesn't take you long to get into the day and you already realize, you know, this would have been a good day to just stayed in bed. It starts out rough and just kind of goes downhill from there, or just lingers. Well, the interesting thing is, you know, we've just come out of Christmas, and I want to just kind of draw some parallels to that, because when you look at the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, and you just begin to read through that and what you read in the Gospel of Matthew. The Christmas story is one scene after another where God messes up the plans of his people. I could go through so many, whether it's Herod or whatever, the shepherds, the innkeeper. All those people had their lives changed. But probably the ones who had it changed the most was Mary and Joseph. I mean, would you agree with that? It's absolutely huge. Here's a young couple engaged to be married. You remember all the excitement, you know, of being engaged. You know, you love somebody, you could just eat them up. Just want to eat them up, not knowing there will be days in the future when you wish you had. But that being said, there's just everything about him is just delicious. And I think that's Mary and Joseph. They loved each other. All they wanted to do was just get married, like everybody else. You know, have some kids, settle down, make a home, make a life, make a living, grow old together. You know, have their kids standing around their deathbed. I mean, that's the way, hopefully, life's going to be. I mean, that's just the way you want it to be. And so the angel Gabriel comes in and he says, Mary, God has other plans for you. God wants you to get pregnant just like you want to. You want to get pregnant after your marriage. God wants you to get pregnant before your marriage. You want Joseph to be the father. God wants you to be pregnant without Joseph as the father. What's going to happen to you is going to absolutely turn your life upside down, because nobody that you talk to is going to understand what in the world you're talking about when you talk about virgin birth. The reason is, this is only going to happen once. It will never happen again. It will never be repeated. And the child that you're going to have is the same God who formed you in your mother's womb. And he's going to be the Savior of the world. God has got a plan. He's been working through the ages. And this is why you were born. I want to tell you something. That's absolutely revolutionary. But here's what I want you to understand. What God said to Mary, God wants to say to all of you. Not about getting pregnant, but that God made you and me for a purpose. And the reality is, God, look at the truth in your outline, God changed some of your plans in 2015. Would you agree with that? God changed some of your plans. Well, here's the thing. Here's what God wants me to understand. Everything that happens, because I'm a child of God, everything that happens in my life is either the sovereign plan of God or the permissive will of God. And what that means is that not everything that happens in my life is God's will. I need to be very careful about saying, well, this happened, so it must be God's will. God has a determined sovereign will that he says, this is what I want to take place. But God also has a permissive will where he allows things to happen that are not necessarily his will, but they're not going to interfere with his sovereign purpose and plan for our life. There's a lot of stuff happens in my life I bring on myself. And I don't need to be blaming God for what I've done. There's sometimes I just make some wrong turns. I make some dumb decisions. I make some decisions I haven't thought through. And then there's other times that people do dumb things to me. and people affect my life. And they can mess up my day. They bring trouble to me. In the Christmas story, what God is saying is, however, that there are going to be times when God is going to intervene in your life and mine. And what he's going to do is, God is going to come into your life and my life, and he's going to do something. He's going to change your plans. And what he's going to say to you, if you'll listen to him, is, I'm going to do something special in your life. And in order to do that, the reason I put you here, I've got to change your plans. All of us have made or are going to make plans for 2016. Here's what you need to know. In these next 12 months of 2016, there are going to be some changes that are going to happen in my life. There's going to be some changes to my plans, and there's going to be changes to your plans that are the direct sovereign purpose and plan of God, that God is moving into your life and he is changing your plans. And the Bible says to us, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Now, here's what that means. In 2016, I'm going to have some Mary, Joseph, Apostle Paul, Abraham events in my life. Those kind of events where everything just gets turned upside down and what I have planned is not going to come to pass. And what I want us to understand is that's one of the main lessons of the Christmas story. And I want to give you three truths this morning, three insights in the message, and you have it today, because this is so good. God's getting us ready because he's going to do something in the life of this church. We're going to move forward in his plan for us, and so it's going to be a good thing. But I want to give you these three truths to remember when your plans get changed by heaven, and it's going to happen. It will happen to you. In fact, you may be in the midst of it right now. So here's number one. Number one, God changes my plan and your plan sometimes for the purpose of simply getting my attention. He changes my plans to get my attention. There's so many times I live a Samson-type life. You go back and you read about the life of Samson. Samson was a man who was called of God. God had a purpose for him. And there were so many times Samson lived distracted, clueless living. There were so many times God sought to get that man's attention. And it's like the line was busy to him. And God could not get through. And he went through a lot of painful things. There was so much that took place. Here's the truth in your outline. Pain is God's tool to get my attention. Pain gets my attention. He finally had his eyes gouged out. What did that do? That pain was so intense, it broke the hold of that was on him to be distracted from God's purpose for putting him on this planet. That's the reason why God allowed it. It was to get his attention. And when God allows pain to come into my life, there are times that what God is seeming to say is, I want you to listen to my voice. I want you to listen for me. You need to listen and stop doing what you're doing, and I want you to focus on me. So some of us this morning may be in pain. You came here, and maybe Christmas was hard. Maybe the last month has been hard. Maybe the last 3 or 4 months have been hard. And you've been saying, why? And what God is simply saying is, I want you to listen to me. I want you to stop being so active, and I want you to be still. And I want you to listen. Why? Because God speaks to us in what kind of a voice? Still, small voice. You remember? Remember that? He speaks to us in that still, small voice down inside of us. So to get Mary and Joseph's attention for a different work, God sent an angel. Now, God doesn't normally do that, and he's not doing it today as far as I know. He doesn't have to. Why does God not have to? Because the Father has given us his word. And I want you to write down, I read passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. And in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, the Bible tells me that what God has put down in the scriptures, particularly in the Old Testament and then also in the New Testament, are stories of how God worked in his people. And what God is simply saying is, everything that I'm going to do in your life, you can read about. I've already done it in the lives of my people, and I put it in Holy Scripture. I don't have to send angels to you anymore because you've got the Word. This is the reason why we talk about getting into the Word. It's one of the reasons why we're doing our fasting, why we're doing reading through the Bible in the year, to get us in the Word. Why? Because when I'm in the Word, God's going to speak to me, and he's going to explain a lot of things that are going on in my life and in your life. I just have to get to the place to where I'm willing to listen, because I'm living in a world that is full of clutter and noise and racket and distractions. So here's a question in your outline. What constants are in your life right now that help you to hear God's voice? I want you to think about that. When you say, Pastor, what are you talking about constant? I'm talking about that thing that I talk about all the time. It is something we rehearse over and over and over and over again. I want it to become part of your life, that having a quiet time. You say, Pastor, you don't know how early I have to get up in the morning. Listen. All you got to ask yourself is, how bad do I want God leading and directing my life? Because if you want to be led by him, you've got to hear him. Every one of us need a quiet time. It may be the morning or it may be the evening, but you need a quiet time. You need time where you are reading the word every day. Every one of us ought to at least get through the word of God one time during the course of a year, at least one time. We need daily time where we are just talking to God and we're being quiet before him. Here's the reality in your life point outline. God gets busy signals when he calls on a lot of us. We're too busy going here, going there, entertaining ourselves, sending those emails, planning trips. Listen to what God said in Psalm 81, verse 13. Listen, 2016 is going to be crazy busy. It's not going to let up. The world is going to offer more and more things. Why? Because when your life has no meaning, you fill it up with stuff to make life livable. Does that make sense? Huh? And that's why people are just crazy about always planning trips, always going here, always going there. Why? Because they cannot get still, because when they're still, there's nothing there. God says in Psalm 81:13, oh, that my people would listen
to me. And so I've got to ask myself, when God tries to get a hold of me, does he get a busy signal? You know, does he get call waiting? You know, just leave a message. I'll get it later. You know what? I have to ask myself, why does God want me to listen to him? Why does he want you to listen to him? I try to lay this out. Look the truth in your outline. Here it is. God wants to save you and me from a lot of problems. And God wants to prepare us for an upcoming fork in the road of your life. Listen, when God is wanting to get my attention, when God is wanting to speak, now listen, out of the ordinary. I go through a lot of days when God's not specifically telling me specific things that I need to do or whatever. I just read the word and I look at what he says. But I'm talking about those times when God is wanting to change the trajectory of my life because he's wanting to do something specific in me. It is the reason why I was put here on this earth. You were put here for a reason. There are going to be those times God is going to want to speak to you because there's going to be a fork in your in the road of your life. And God is saying, listen, if you don't listen to me, you're going to go right when I want you going left. You're going to move when I want you to stand still. God has a perspective that I don't have. Listen to what the Bible says. There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Is it not true that a lot of our decisions wind up being dead ends? Huh? All of us have experienced that. You know, it looked good at the time, and then that thing just goes south on you. It does. You know, it's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to marry this person. I'm going to make this deal. I'm going to move forward in this relationship. I'm going to start a business. And it looks good here, but it turns out wrong. And the reason is because we were not listening to him. We were not listening to God. God sees everything ahead of us in 2016. It's like, I don't know if you've ever been on Route 7 in Arkansas. It's a booger. It is one of the most beautiful highways to get on. If you're taking a vacation, go through Arkansas. Take Highway 7 out of Hot Springs, going up through the mountains. But do not be in a hurry because you're not going anywhere fast. It is like a snaky road all through that, and guaranteed you're going to get behind somebody who has no place to go and is in no hurry to get there. And you cannot pass them because there is a curve about every 200 yards. I mean, you just can't do anything. And it would be so good. I mean, you're driving along, you may go 10, 15 minutes and nobody passes you. You're like, dude, if I had known nobody was coming, I could already pass Mr. and Mrs. Slowpoke and gotten on my way. What I needed was somebody up over me in a helicopter, and he could have radioed down and say, John, nothing's coming for the next 2 miles. Go, my brother. You're good to go. I could have done that, you know, if I just had it. That is what God said. God said, I want to be that for you. Does that make sense? God said, I want to be. God sees everything out in front of us. The Lord sees it all. And God is simply saying that I know when to tell you slow down. I know when to tell you hang left, hang right. I know when to tell you stop, pull over, don't go forward or go faster or turn around. Don't do that. Why? Because God sees everything that's coming. I'm going to tell you something. That is absolutely exciting to me. That is a blessing. I don't know what 2016 holds, but somebody does. God knows. And look at the truth in your outline. God doesn't change our plans to hurt us or because he hates us, but to help us and to direct us to a place of blessing. If you belong to God in Jesus Christ, then Romans 8 and 28 says that everything that God does in my life and your life is for the purpose of blessing you. It is for the purpose of protecting you. Now listen, if God is talking to me and I don't listen to him, do you understand it can result in the loss of your life? It can result in the loss of a marriage. It can result in the loss of a job. It can result in the loss of good friends that you've had for a long, long time. But because you would not listen to him, you did something that seemed like the right thing to do, and you wind up losing somebody in your life that's very important to you. or things just really go bad. Here's the truth. When your life plans crater, open your ears and just say, God, I'm listening. So this morning, if things have taken a change on you, I want you to understand, God is trying to get your attention. And just say, Father, if you're seeking to talk to me, I want to hear what you're saying. Then number two, God changes our plans for his better plan. Because God's got something better for us. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I know what I'm planning for you, says the Lord. I have good plans, not bad plans for you. Not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope and I will give you a future. You need to play that over and over in your mind, day in and day out, because that's God's plan for you. Listen, 2016 is dark. I have no idea what's coming, and you don't know what's coming. But in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, my Father and your Father, he has already gone through 2016. God's already gone all the way down to December 31st. He's already past that. And here's what God is saying. God is saying there is nothing in 2016 I don't already know about. And God is saying, if you belong to me, my promise stands, and my promise for you is I have made a way for you, and I've got a plan for you. If you will walk with me, I will guide you through this year. That's why we're going to do the Daniel fast. That starts January the 4th. It'll go through January the 24th. Why? Because every year I want us to remind ourselves we need to keep our ears focused on listening for him. We need to work on touching base with him and keeping our contact with him. Because here's the truth I want you to see in your outline. God will not force his plan on you. You have to choose. You've got to choose the Daniel fast. You've got to choose to be in the Word every day. You've got to choose to pray. You must choose. You can keep on going with what you want to do in 2016 and get all the problems, all the difficulties, all the stresses that are going to come from doing life your way. Or we can say, God, I want to do life your way. I want to be so in tune with you that everything that happens in 2016, I want to know that I know that I know every day of my life, my Father is watching over me, my God is guiding me, and everything that's happening in me, in my life, is happening because God is working out his plan. Listen, God says, I want to do something good for you. And we're told a good deal about what God's got in store for us in 2016. Look in your outline. First of all, and I've down here is an A, first of all, God's plan is going to be bigger than what you would choose. One of the ways you can know God is speaking to you and telling you something, listen, his plan is going to be bigger. You take your cue from Joseph and Mary. They wanted a quiet life of predictability. Is that what they got? Good grief, no. Boy, did God have bigger plans for them. Here's the truth in your outline. Your plan, instead of God's plan, will limit your life. If I had gone on with my plan to be a dentist, my life would have been limited. Because I would have never experienced what Catherine and I have gone through. She maybe would have been a wife of a dentist, but we would have never had what God has done in our life. We would never know him in the way that God wants us to know. Listen, none of us in this room, I had no idea at that point. I had no idea what God had put me here on this planet to do. No idea at all. And here's what I want you to understand. You have no idea what God wants you to do with your life. You have no idea, ultimately, what God's plan is for you before you breathe your last breath and we drop dirt on your face. Does that make sense? Are you hearing? You have no idea. You do not know what God wants to do for you. But what God is simply saying is, in order for me to get you to where I want you, I want you to understand there are going to be specific times where I am going to change your plan. Because you don't know everything I have planned for you. And if you keep going the way you want to go, you're always going to choose less. I'm going to choose bigger. So I want you to understand, when God begins to reveal his plan to you, it's probably going to make you sweat. Because here's number two. His plan, however, is going to give back more life. Whatever it is that God has got for you, it is how you are going to be blessed. Why? Because this is the reason why God put you on this earth. God wants me to be blessed here, and God wants me to be blessed there. And God says, I want to do good in your life here. I want to stretch you. I want to give things to you that you would have never imagined. And as you follow me and do what I want you to do down here, it's going to be better and better and better up there, because I'm going to reward you richly for doing what I put you here. Because everything that God wants me to do here is playing into his eternal plan. And what you're doing is going to touch other people's lives. And that's why God says, you have never seen or heard or even imagined what wonderful things I have prepared for those who love me. God said, I've got something good for you. But what I've got planned for you is not what you would choose. And that brings me to number three. God's plan is usually going to be harder. I'm not going to lie. Most of the time, God's plan for us is going to be harder because it's going to stretch us. Think of Abraham going up the mountain to sacrifice Isaac. Think of Noah building the ark for 120 years. David going up after Goliath. Moses leading a couple of million people through the wilderness without a map. You just think about all those things. And listen. When I'm doing what God wants me to do, when you're doing what God wants you to do, you will have to walk with him every day to succeed in it. Now listen, do not kid yourself. Oh, I'm living God's plan for my life. Well, I want to ask you a question. Do you have to be in the Word every day? Do you need to make contact with God on a regular basis? Listen, if you can go weeks or months at a time and not be in the Word, if you don't need to find time to be on your knee, I guarantee you, on the authority of the Word of God, you are not living God's plan for your life. When you are doing what God wants you to do, the only way you're going to be able to succeed is to get with him. Because when you're following him, there are going to be those times you're going to say, why is this happening to me? Why is this taking place? Why is life so hard? Do you understand? Mary was most likely a young girl who had just gotten to the age in her body where she could have a child. She could have been like just 15 years of age. Joseph may have been no more than 19. Can you imagine a 19-year-old boy and a 15-year-old girl being totally alone to bring a baby into the world? Can you imagine your 15-year-old daughter or granddaughter having to birth a child without a midwife, without a woman who had a baby before her, being there to guide her? Mary not only had to give birth to Jesus, she had to herself wrap him, take care of the umbilical cord. She had to wrap him in swaddling clothes. She had to clean him. There was nobody there. There was more Joseph didn't know how to do than he knew what to do. 15-year-old kid, are you kidding me? Like, I'm all thumbs. There's no manual for this. There's so much these kids did not know. But I'm going to tell you what God was saying to Joseph. He could hear the voice of God. I dimed a dollar if I was a betting man. He could hear God saying, Joseph, I will be with you. You be a husband to this girl. You be a stepfather to this baby. You give yourself to protect them. You guide them. You shelter them. And I will be with you. I will help you make it. And you know that as you go and you do as I say, you will see what I can do for you. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're doing what God has put you here on this planet to do, it will dwarf you, it will stretch you, it will scare you, and the only way you'll be able to survive is being in the Word of God week in, week out, day in, day out. Don't tell me you're living the life of God if you do not have to be in the Word. John 13, verse 7. Because when you're doing what God wants you to do, invariably there are going to be those times when you have no idea what's going on. I cannot tell you the number of times as your shepherd where I'm down on my face before God and I find myself talking to God just like Moses. I'm like, Father, this great people that you have given me, there's so many challenges. There's such a spiritual warfare that's going here. I don't know what my next step needs to be. I don't know where you want me, what I'm supposed to be doing in the Word. I don't understand. I know that you want me here. I know you've put me in this place. I know that you are causing growth. I know that you are drawing people. But I don't understand what I'm going through right now. And then Jesus' words come to me so often, John 13, verse 7, where he said to Peter, what I am doing now, you don't understand, but you will understand later. So, I get up here on Sunday morning acting like I know exactly what I'm doing. Because I know that I know that I know I did not choose this. It was chosen for me. And the only authority I have to stand in front of you behind this stand is that I didn't choose to be here. God chose it for me. And he said, I have called you and I created you for this, that you would shepherd my people on a hill and you would do it until I tell you you're done. And I don't want anything but that for you. And then lastly, God changes our plans to teach us to trust Him. When our plans crater, when what I wanted to do gets rearranged, what God is saying to us is, I have ordained a testing period for you, and the test is this: will you trust me? A husband dies. A wife dies. A child dies. Wayward turns on you. Business goes sour. Listen, if you belong to Him, you are in a test. God's testing to see if you're ready to move forward. There were so many times the only thing that Joseph and Mary could do was trust. He's trusted. What are you going to do? We're going to trust Him. How's that going to work out? We're just going to trust Him. There had never been a virgin birth, for crying out loud. There's no manual for that. And so here's the insight. There's only one way to please God, and that is seeking His face in trusting faith. Jeremiah 29, 13, you shall seek for me and find me when you seek for me with all of your heart. You see, when your plans get changed, my first temptation is to want to say, God, I want out of this. Lord, deliver me. Remove me out of this pain. Remove me out of this problem. Remove me out of this difficulty. We want relief. We want extrication out of the problem. God says, I want you to seek me. I want you to come after me. Because I want you to trust that I am doing something in your life. Why? Because have I not promised you that I will work everything in your life to your good? Can I get an amen? Isn't that what God has said? I will work everything. You see, God said, I want you to trust me. Why? Because you know, son, you know, daughter. I have told you, you know. You're not guessing. You're confident. You're certain. You're sure. God causes everything, sickness, loss, financial trouble, aging, to work together for your good. And so what God is saying is, if you want all that I've got for you, there's only one thing you've got to do. Say yes. Just say yes. Lord, I just want to say yes to whatever it is you want in my life. Here's the insight. When plans change, you're moving into a test. And so it is, God wants to know, will you trust me? Nobody knows in this room what God holds for you in 2016, but your plans will get changed because God's going to do something. Now here, let me give you three signs that you're not trusting God. Three signs that I'm not trusting him, and they are, it's the way I feel. Number one, fatigue. Number two, frustration. And number three, fear. When those are overwhelming in my life, I'm not trusting him. I'm not trusting. Well, my time is come and gone. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. I'll encourage you this morning. Just bow your heads for just a minute. I want to pray over you. We're going to pray for God's leadership, for his direction. This morning, I want to encourage you that you will say to God this morning, if your plans have changed, that you will say, God, Father, I want you to speak to me because I'm listening. My life's been turned upside down, and so I'm believing you're wanting to get my attention, and I want to hear from you. And you will say to him this morning, Father, I want you. I want what you want for me. I want your leadership in my life. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what these events are going to do. But I want to know that I know that my life is in your hands. And I want to lay myself down in your huge hands. And I just want to say, Father, I want to trust you. I want you to hold to me. And I'm going to live my days trusting you. Even when I cannot see, I'm going to trust you because you have made me a promise that you will work everything together for my good. So, Father, thank you today. Thank you for the word. God, we thank you that we are never out from under your care. We are never out of your eyesight. We are the apple of your eye. You love us because we're your children through the Lord Jesus. And you make changes in our life. You change our plans because you've got something better. Something that fits into why we're here. And so, Lord, I pray today for myself and for this whole fellowship that when you are sovereignly changing our plans, it is to move us a step closer to why we're here on this planet. It is moving us closer to the reason we exist. You
are redirecting our lives. You are testing us. You are seeing if we will trust you. You're seeing what have we learned. Will we stand on the word? Can we be trusted to speak to different people about heaven and about Christ? Because there's something you want us to do. So, Father, thank you today. Thank you for the word. Be with us now as we go from this place this morning. Guide and direct us, and may you find us listening intently for your voice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.